Grace to all of you and peace from God our Father, our Lord, and our Savior Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who is active here in our midst this morning. Amen. So this past week I've been at a confirmation camp up at Ingham Okoboji. Next week I'm going to be at the high school camp at Ingham Okoboji. And it's the same theme every time. In fact, this was the same theme that we had in Vacation Bible School from Riverside, because they do all their training together. So it's the same theme, and it's anchored in hope. And when I heard this anchored idea, I mean, I guess I don't spend a lot of time around anchors. The first thing I thought of is, like, an anchor, like, weighs you down. And I thought, why would they choose that as a theme? Because sometimes my faith feels like it's anchoring me down, like it's weighing me down. And I wonder if any of you ever feel this way. I feel sometimes, I felt this way especially in the past growing up as a kid, that being a Christian meant I couldn't do a bunch of stuff that I wanted to do. And so I didn't get to experience all that life had to offer because I was a Christian. Do you ever feel this way? I'll give you some examples. I mean, these are from when I was a younger man, but I think some of us can understand this. Like, I remember watching on TV, they would have these shows, or not these commercials, I guess. It was like, come to South Padre Island for 2 weeks for spring break. Have a great time. And there'd all be these, like, girls in their bikinis, and they'd all be drinking. I was like, man, that looks like fun, but I don't think any of that stuff is stuff I'm supposed to be doing. Like, I do not think that that's what a Christian is supposed to do. But I thought, man, that looks so much fun. I'm never going to experience that, ever. It kind of made me sad. I was like, that's not fair. Like, God wants me to experience everything that this world has, but I will never get to do that, ever. It doesn't seem fair. Or even nowadays, as an adult, you know, I've given up on my spring break dreams. But still, there are times where I feel like, as a Christian, I can't do everything I want to because of some rule or something I'm supposed to do as a Christian. For instance, like many of you, I don't like my grocery bill. I don't like it when I go and fill up my, especially the Suburban, with gas because it costs so much money. And then I think, well, where does all this money go? I mean, I'm tithing. I'm giving my money to the church. It'd be really nice to have that money every month instead to do something else or go on a longer vacation or go somewhere more exciting. It's not fair. It doesn't feel like I can do everything I want to do because as a Christian, I've got to be a giver. I've got to be generous, right? It's not fair. I was thinking about this, and then I thought, you know, I only think about the things I can't do, but there are also some other experiences in this world that I won't experience because I have been following God's way. For instance, because I literally have never been drunk, I've also never experienced a hangover. I've heard that they're not very much fun. I will never experience that because I've chosen to follow God's desires for my life. I've never spent the night with someone I don't know in that way, right? In a casual way that I'm sure a lot of people at spring break do. I've also never had a pregnancy scare where I've been unhappy when I found out that the person I was with was pregnant. I've always been excited. I've never had to worry about getting an STD. Because I've never done this kind of thing, I've never had an affair, I've never destroyed my marriage because of adultery. You know, these are all experiences I won't have. But I'm kind of glad that I didn't have those experiences. And that's because I was following God's way. You see what I mean? Like, sure, I don't get to experience everything that ever happens in this world, but I'm kind of glad about that. Because God's kept me from experiencing some of these really negative consequences. In Romans chapter 12, we find out it's not following God's way that weighs us down. It's actually sin that weighs us down. It says, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. You know, there are times where I feel like, man, I wish I could do all this stuff that I'm not supposed to do. But then I think, maybe I'm glad. Maybe I'm glad that I'm following God's way, that I'm not going to experience all these negative consequences that would really weigh me down for a lot longer in my life. But see, what Anchored in Hope is talking about, it's not saying our faith is weighing us down. It's saying actually, what does an anchor do? That's what I was talking about with the kids. An anchor, you set it down to keep you somewhere, to keep you connected to something, right? To keep you in one place. To be anchored in God means that you're not going to drift away from Him. One of the things that I've heard at marriage retreats, I'll need two hands for this. It's really a exciting little example here. They said that being in a marriage or any relationship, I think including a relationship with God, it's like two boats on a lake. And you know, they're not moving fast, but they'll drift towards one another and then they touch, right? You're really close, like with your spouse. You're really close. But as soon as those boats touch, what's going to happen? They start drifting away. They bonk into each other and they start drifting away. And I mean, that's what happens in every relationship. One week you're like, man, we're just right. We're right together. We're finishing each other's sentences, all this stuff. And then the next week you're like, why can't we get along? That's how it is in every relationship. Unless you're working at, you know, rowing back towards each other. Similar with God, right? We have to be working towards staying with Him. And what this theme for the summer has been is the anchor. Like, how are we going to anchor ourselves to God so we don't find ourselves drifting away from Him? And the first 3 days of the week, well, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, they focused on three different ways that we can anchor ourselves to God so that we don't drift away from Him. It's anchored in the Creator, anchored in the Savior, and anchored in the Word. I just was thinking about this all week long. I thought I'd share some thoughts with you about how you can stay connected to God. Because, see, most of you, almost all of you, are already Christians. And so you've made that decision to follow God. You've responded to His love with love of your own. And so you're already there. But it's so easy to find yourself, like, you know, feeling frustrated about your faith or sort of finding yourself a long way from where you originally intended to be as a Christian. So how do you stay connected to God and anchored in Him? The first one is anchored in the Creator. And what this theme was trying to get at was that God has created everything. One of the activities we did during Bible study this last week is we just had the kids sit there for about a minute and look around at everything that God had created, and to share. What did you see? What did you feel? What did you experience about God? You know, and they talked about the wind and the leaves and the trees. And I heard lots of the cabins went out and looked at the stars at night, just to remember that everything in all creation was created by God. Now, we're not outside, but as you look around this sanctuary, what did God create? I mean, everything. Now, I understand He didn't, there aren't trees that grow stained glass on them, but He created the person with the artistic talents to make it, and He created all the materials to make it, and He helped whoever bought that stained glass, or maybe multiple people, He made it possible for them to earn the money to buy it. I mean, everything in this church was created by God. It's a gift from God. See, that's what, once you start realizing that everything is created by God, you realize everything we have is a gift. Sometimes when, well, I was walking the dog the other day, and just a couple days ago, and I thought, here I am, back home, walking this dog again. And it's like, it's a lot of work all the time to go. And then I was thinking about, you know, there's, what a gift to have a dog to walk. What a gift to be able to be home, to be able to walk this dog. What a gift to have the ability to walk. No pains, no injuries. Like, there are times where we don't appreciate what we've got, you know, until we lose it. Right? You talk to someone at the nursing home, ask them if they'd like to walk the dog. Sure they would. Some of them are still in the, you know, they can't even leave the place. They're in a wheelchair. Like, they don't have a home anymore. Their home is there. They had to sell their house. I mean, think about it. They appreciate it. But see, most of the time we don't. We don't remember how many things we've been given as a gift from God. And so we can start to doubt and despair and get frustrated with God. We have to be anchored in the fact that everything around us, everything we have, every breath that we take is a gift from God. And the people in our lives are gifts from God. Sometimes the people in our lives really frustrate us, and we get angry at them and the choices they make. But think about what a gift your family, your friends are, the people in this church are. I mean, what a gift that they are to you. The final thing about this is just to know that God is with you wherever you go. In the good times and the bad, he is there with you. He is always around you. That's what it means to be anchored in the Creator, to know that he is always at your side. Nothing can separate you from his love. Being anchored in the Savior, I mean, I think this one maybe is more obvious, but it's also something we can drift away from God if we don't remember. That the reason we're Christians is that we're all sinners. Sometimes people think Christians are the people that are good at following the laws or they're goody-two-shoes, this kind of thing. That is not what makes us Christians. It's not that we're good at following the law. It's because we've admitted we're bad at it. That we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That the only reason that we have any hope in the heavenly home is because we're forgiven, because we put our faith in Jesus' death on the cross for us. That's what makes us Christians. And if we forget that, if we start believing that it's because we're living a better life, we'll slowly drift away from the whole point of what it means to be a Christian. And once we start thinking it's how good we are, well, then we expect other people to be just as good as we think we are. And then we forget that since we're forgiven, we have to forgive other people. Like, that's what it means to be a Christian. Not just to be a forgiven sinner, but to forgive other people who sin against us all the time. How many times? They ask in the Bible. 7 times? No. 77 times? No. 77 times 7. Like, forever. You're going to keep forgiving each other. And if we forget that, if we don't stay anchored in that, and anchored in the Savior, we're going to drift away from what being a Christian is really all about. Anchored in the Word is the final thing that they talked about. And what does that mean? Well, we got to read our Bibles, got to be coming to church, hearing Scripture read, hearing sermons, listening to songs, whatever it is, because you can't just hope that you're going to remember them all. Or hope that, whatever you learned in Sunday school is going to get you through the rest of your life. I mean, I'll bet you that there are a few people here that haven't really read their Bible much since confirmation. I mean, when you had to, you know? And you probably have lots of different excuses. It's hard to read, or you don't understand it, or you don't have the time. But the problem is, if we don't stay anchored in the Word, we slowly drift away. We start following the other currents in our society. And our society, I know people say we live in a Christian nation, but our nation does a lot of things that aren't very Christian. And there are lots of people in our nation who believe things that aren't really Christian. And they might sound like it's close, but it's not quite the same. It's not what's in the Bible. Now, you may not believe me. I challenge you, well, read the Bible then and show me where I'm wrong. Like, you got to read it and find out what it is. The things you read on the internet, the things you watch in shows, they're subtle, but they kind of, what they might be talking about sounds Christian, but it's not quite right. But you're not going to know unless you read your Bible, you learn what it says, you come to church, and you get challenged in your faith a little bit, staying connected to God's Word in that way. I mean, I don't know if this happens to you. It happens to me especially at the earlier service, but also in traditional service. But we'll be singing a song, and it'll remind me of something that, I need to be better about that. I need to be, like this morning in the If We Are the Body song, it talked about how people come into church and they don't always feel welcome. They feel guilty and they feel left out and all this kind of stuff. And it reminds me, like, some of you might be feeling that today. And I might not have thought about that unless I heard that song. That's what it means to stay connected to the Word. If you had slept in this morning, you might not have heard that message. But see, if you can remember that, if you can be reminded of it, then it can affect your whole week in a positive way, okay? So I was thinking of examples I could use for this, and I'm reading a book. It's a Christian fiction book, so I know it's not a real story, but it's reflective of a real story, lots of real stories. It's about a pastor, okay? And this pastor is trying to grow a little rural church. And it's just a tiny little church, mostly old members. And he goes and he wants to get the church to get bigger. Because, of course, that's a godly thing to do. God wants us to grow the kingdom of God. So he starts changing the music and he starts changing all kinds of stuff. And more people come. And so he thinks, hey, I'm doing the right thing because how can it be bad? If more people are coming to church, it must be good. And slowly over a period of years in this church, the church gets bigger and bigger. Now they're building a whole other new church. All the old members left because, of course, it's not really a church that they are welcome at anymore, apparently. But he's feeling good about it because more and more people are coming. They're coming to church. They're showing up. They're giving to the church. But what happens, and I'm not done with the entire book, but what's already happened is that the church no longer really talks much about Jesus. It certainly doesn't talk about the cross or about how he had to die for their sins. They don't talk about sin that much. Why? Well, because if you talk about sin, people might want to come back. I mean, we confess our sins every week at church. Maybe for a new person coming in here, that's uncomfortable. So if you just want more people to come, maybe you're not going to talk about sin much anymore. You don't want to talk about anything controversial because you don't want to offend anybody. But sometimes God's word is offensive to the normal things that we think about, the things that are going on in our society. So we have to stay anchored in that word because what happens in this story, I understand it's a fictional story, but I think it's still true in many ways, is that this pastor, he has an affair, right? Because he's turned away from God in many ways. Like, he's a Christian pastor, but he's drifted away. He's not anchored to anything. He thinks what it's all about is getting more and more people to come to church, when really that's not what it's about. It's getting people to come to Jesus. It's getting people to remember to stay anchored in the Word, to learn their Bible, to focus on that. That's what it's about. And having more people come is great, but what are they coming for? That's what being anchored is all about. We have to make sure that when people come to our church, that we connect them to God, that we connect them to Jesus, that we connect them to God's Word, because that is where they're going to find life. But it's also true for each one of us individually. So I'm sure each one of us could tell a story about how we have drifted away from God in one way or another. But what I want to encourage you to do is to plant your flag, right? Put down your anchor. Make sure you're connecting to God by remembering that everything you have in this life is a gift. To remember that you are only a sinner in need of a Savior. You don't ever get any better than that. You have to stay connected to the cross of Christ. And finally, stay connected to His Word. Reading the Bible, doing devotions, those are not extracurricular activities. They're necessary. They're necessary every day to make sure that you are staying connected to God, making sure you've put down your anchor so you don't go drifting off to the other side somewhere else. You want to stay by His side for the rest of your life. Amen.